Blog Talk Radio.
We're shy of one horse.
You brought too many.
Thank you.
another Wednesday night, and I ain't got nobody. Good evening, and welcome to another edition of Soul Tree Radio on the Raw. I'm your host, Michael Lewis Ingram, DJ Honey Coleman. As always, it is good to have you in the house. Soul Tree Radio on the Raw, proudly sponsored by BASNNewsroom.com and the Assassins of the Black Athlete Sports Network. Get all the good shit with who, what, when, where, why, and how right here, right now at www.basnnewsroom.com. Shout out to the members of the Brother Man Network, wherever they may be, might be chiming in. And as always, looking forward to the discourse. Now, we know in this society, people have the right to be stupid, you know, to act stupid, to say stupid things. We know that's all part of it, especially in sports where talking heads and their big mouths can rule the day, or ruin the day, actually. But Gary, and my man Gary Gray, my right-hand man, is right here with us as we wait for the rest of the crew. Nothing is more annoying than hearing a talking head about ignorance. I mean, straight ignorance, like what I heard from David Carr. Good evening.
Where's David Carr's name?
Well, David
I'm already dismissing it because it's David Carr, but go ahead.
Exactly. David Carr, for full disclosure, was a former number one draft choice and the number one selection in the draft back in the day. Now, he goes back a few years, but what is annoying and what's disturbing about him is that he was picked by the Houston Texans to be their franchise quarterback, and they immediately beat his ass like a runaway slave for a few years until he went elsewhere. He has more interceptions in his career than touchdowns, and he has a lifetime record of, I believe, 23.
Is that the same David Carr with the Raiders?
No, you're thinking of that's
his brother, Derek.
That's his brother. Okay, fine. Mm-hmm.
That's his uglier brother.
For the record, he has 71 interceptions and 55 touchdowns. So, David Carr said after the Niners with the Eagles' ass, and, you know, I have no problem with that. Look, I'll take an ass-whipping now, give an ass-whipping later. But, and you know how it is with that word, but David Carr had to put his foot in his mouth and stick it up his ass all at the same time, talking about how Jalen Hurts should be benched for Marcus Mariota. Now, we all know.
That's funny.
My man, the comedian Dexter, said you can't fix stupid. This is beyond stupid. This is just blank, be blank.
He actually said that.
Yes, he actually said that. And, of course, he told this on the air and was proudly spouting his ignorance and didn't mind saying it. I guess he thought he was making a hot take or something like that. But, you know, you can't make hot takes without syrup or butter. And even without that, it was void of everything that mattered in an opinion. Now, he had the right to say it, but he was stupid to say it. This comes from somebody who has been beaten down to the DNA. And in the world of National Football League, DNA stands for don't know a fucking thing. This is
crazy. Well, Michael, let me add to the stupidness. This week, on Unknown Network and a editorial page, They wrote an article about the coach of the year.
Right.
Now, mind you, we're in the middle of the season.
Right.
But they probably announced the Indianapolis Colts head coach as the coach of the year.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Last time I checked, the Indianapolis Colts had the same record as the Houston Texans.
That's right. 7-5.
Was the head coach of the Houston Texans?
D'Amico Ryan.
Okay. See, this is the kind of stuff. And see, I was so upset. I was like, okay, you want to play that kind of game? You're telling me that the Indianapolis Colts head coach of the year, and they had the same record as they had last year, they got the identical record this year. So what are you talking about?
Yep.
What are you talking about?
We know this, Gary. We know this. But the problem here is we have a sport that we all seem to know well, that we all relate to, that we all can decipher and present in an objective manner. In this world of journalism as it sits right now, they don't want objective anymore. They want the nonsense that comes out of people's mouths that's disguised as opinion. And this is part of what the problem is. Every time you hear some outlandish take on somebody, it's like, what the fuck? You know, you're saying it because you want clickbait for your article. You're not saying it because you're trying to make sense. And the more opinion shows we hear, the more this shit we're hearing. And underneath it all is the hidden tint of racism, because we know it's a black quarterback they're talking about or a black player they're talking about. And they're trying to find some way to twist the knife. And the only way that they can do it is to go at it by either attacking them personally, a la Cam Newton, and talking about shit that has nothing to do with football, or try to come up with harebrained theories about why this is that. Now, we all know, going into last week, Jalen Hurts was definitely a front runner for MVP. And he earned it.
And that's why
they're attacking him. They shouldn't have won, but they were attacking him. Exactly. You know, he ran into Purdy. Purdy won the game. And now, of course, they think, oh, it's all right now because we're back in the world where white is ruling it and black is underneath it all. We'll go with that. But that's not really the case. We, with the help of Pro Football Reference, are going to put some shit out here to make everybody understand the true numbers. Now, a couple of weeks ago, if you remember, I asked you guys to name me a quarterback that had 100 victories, a black quarterback. And it took a while before we read on Russell Wilson. Now, that's true, but it wasn't all true. It's not just Russell Wilson. We have Damon Allen and Tracy Ham in the CFL, and we also have Warren Moon. Warren Moon was 105 and 103 in the American League, but he only won games up in Canada and won 5 consecutive Grey Cups. You know, the bottom line is they've been winning all along. And every time they win, we see, wait a minute, how the fuck can this happen? Like, how the fuck can Joe Namath be in the Hall of Fame with a record of 62-63-1. That's the kind of shit we're talking about.
Because,
you know,
Joe Namath is from New York City, and the University of Alabama. Okay, we throw that out.
Well, it's worse than that. But Tony, we know. It's not about just playing a game. It's being caught up in the game. And he's got somebody who doesn't have a record that warrants. Well, yeah, he was good, but come on. One game? And really, that's what we voted Joe Davis into the Hall of Fame off. One fucking game. Tony just spirit. Okay. So again, I bring it to you. One fucking game. Why is Joe Namath being lauded for one fucking game?
Number one, Joe Namath is an answer. Number two, Joe Namath comes from the University of Alabama. Number three, he won the only Super Bowl ever with the New York Jets. Number four, did he not try to go to get a bar and try to buy a bar?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
You keep messing around, and it comes out. It all comes out, and that's what's happening right now. It's all coming out.
Yeah, it's all coming out, but unfortunately, coming out. It's a bunch of nonsense. We got Radio Reggie in the mix. Reggie, can you hear me?
I say roll tide.
Oh, don't get me started.
Roll tide.
When the wife went to Alabama
and the sister went to Auburn, and the wife is a Philadelphia Eagles fan, sorry about your Eagles, Mike. Hey, I go with who's going to make her happy. But just be honest about something, gentlemen, real quick. When the Deacons Defense of Justice come in, we need to acknowledge that this is the show where we get the facts out no matter who it hurts. But, Gary, I know you pissed off at a moment of silence for Deion Sanders and his former fiance. After 12 years and the pressure of coaching football, they have called it quits. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. The pressure of trying to survive in the NFL's fast college world has taken a toll. And I'm going to say right now that Coach Prime, I give him 3 years. After that, either he's going to resign and move on and get out of coaching, or he's going to try to make a lateral move, probably try to go to some school in Texas or Florida. But I truly believe his health is not going to allow him to coach another 3 or 4 years.
Well, Reggie, I think you made a good point because what he has done to Colorado, all I needed to see was the game against Stanford and two bad calls in the fourth quarter. Okay, here we go. At the time, Colorado was undefeated, man. They played Stanford. And when they got a 20-point lead, and people lost their minds.
Well, see, in my opinion, Mike and Gary, and I'm not trying to change the subject, but I just think that you have white America saying, okay, nigga, you got enough shine. Now it's time for us to start leaking certain stories.
That's what Stanford game was about. We got to pull you in.
What they do is start leaking stories about top recruits. All of a sudden, coaches can't coach no more. He made a comment that he wants his coaches to be able to look for other jobs. You know something, like in this industry, if you don't have a strong assistant coaches, and especially recruiting, you're going to fall flat on your face. But I got a bad feeling that Colorado's going to be hurt next year.
Yeah, that's the truth. They're going to hurt next year, or everybody's going to want to avoid them like the plague because he's going to find an offensive and a defensive line. He's got skilled people, and they're going to get back at some of those folks who whipped their ass during the season.
I hope he kills Colorado State, but Colorado State didn't.
The important thing
well,
like that.
Well, here's the thing. Apparently, there are like 3,000 players on the the transfer portal.
T, yeah. What's up, T? Return to the mat. Wait a minute, T, it went from 1,000 to 3,000 in one day.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, it's
that's
it's you know.
That's a better sale than Walmart on Black Thursday.
Yeah, well, they suck some white and pink ones in there too. So it's white and pink Friday as well. But the thing is, look, everybody's gonna have the same. This way, if there's anything that's sort of equal in Division 1A football, as the coaches are a little upset to find out, is the transfer portal. Now, here's the thing. A lot of the Colorado team this year was built on guys from the portal and like fourth and fifth year seniors. So
that's right.
Whoever they're going to – well, I don't think there's going to be as big a haul of a roster as it was last year. I think they're going to lose some – here's the thing. You've got – you know, there's clearly there are players that are not happy with what where they're at, of course. Surprise, surprise. But here's the thing.
Ohio State,
Michigan. Well, everybody, but see what I'm saying. It's 3,000 for everybody out there, and see, it's not just the McDonald's, Burger King, Hardee's, you know, Piggly Wiggly, all Americans that are out there. There's always the great unknown too, and again, it's you know,
don't forget the walk-on.
Look. I think clearly they'll be better next year. I mean, look, when they started off 3-0, they were already playing with house money. In this instance, the house always wins, and the house definitely did come back and win on them this year.
True.
But I think now that he's had a full year under the whole thing, and you've had and there are players that have been there for a full year as well, and he's going to revamp the coaching staff. You know, remember, he came in there, if I remember correctly, right about this time last year.
So now
Celebration Bowl a couple weeks later.
Exactly. Yeah. So now he's going to have a full off season to, you know, implement his thing and everything else. They'll be fine. Now, the interesting thing is going to be the whole, because they're going to be in a whole different conference next year, right?
Yes, probably an easy one. If you say easier, the big boys will be gone.
Well, yes and no. Because, see, remember, like I said, 3,000 folks in the portal, which means all the other schools can go out and get better too.
Everybody's
spending some money.
Exactly. So it's this way. Considering what they were able to do, getting in there late and what have you, now he's going to basically have a full off season, a full recruiting time or what have you. And again, if you know. Is he going to wind up getting, like, you know, the number one and number two recruit? Maybe, maybe not. But, again, I don't think they have – let's put it this way. They don't have to go all ham to be better. So,
did they play Colorado State this year?
I think that's one of the non-conference games because that's a, you know, that's one of the few non-conference games I think is still on their schedule because of the rivalry there. You know, they Colorado
right.
State have been playing each other for years, so I'm sure I'm sure that's on the schedule.
Yeah, that'll be a road game next year. They play them on the road.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
the home game
exactly.
This year.
I'll be buried around this year.
It's weird because usually that game, they usually play that game at Invesco, a.k.a. Mile High, because that game usually draws. Now, this year, I guess this year they wound up playing it, at Colorado. But but we'll see. We'll see. It's again. It's going to be a very interesting offseason, to say the least.
Hey, T, I got a question for you, T. We know a lot of people was going ham when it came to betting. And I don't care what nobody say, when the big money whales and sharks and everything else start coming in, they knew that these teams traveled that's on the Final Four. That's number one. Number two, I want to get your opinion about the betting aspect of them making sure that ESPN is a flagship of the SEC.
Yep.
And I'd be damned if they was not going to have an SEC champion there. So from the betting aspect, how much money was riding on them to get it right? And from the business point of view?
Well, to me, again, my own opinion, they really couldn't lose in this, to me. No disrespect, Gary, but tell that to UCF. This is nothing new. They didn't. It's, again, everyone's, and I get the outrage. Everyone's getting all hot and bothered because FSU didn't get in. Hey, UCF said, "Cry me a freaking river." We did that. That happened to us too.
It happened three times.
That's what I get. That's just my point. Now it's interesting that it wound up happening to a quote unquote blue blood, so to speak.
Yeah.
Because see,
Power Five.
Yeah, well, yeah, well
this
see,
is the first. This is the first time a mid major guys. Yeah, the first time.
Florida.
They're not a mid major. To a certain extent, but see, an undefeated team getting screwed, this isn't the first time. Now, it's the first time that it was a blue blood. It's the first time that it was a quote-unquote blue blood. Because see, here's the funny thing. Remember way back in the day when Florida State was basically UCF in the sense where they were independent?
Yeah.
And they made their own schedules
and Bobby Bowden went everywhere to play everybody. West Virginia, Texas. Here's my thing. It wasn't it the ACC and everybody that tried to get a coalition together to stop the expansion? And we could have had 12 teams this year, but it wasn't for the ACC that blocked it. Am I right about
that? Them and the Pac-12 and Big 12, too, I believe, voted against it as well.
So they got bitten ass. If they had kept things like they should have, they would have been a part of a 13-field team. We wouldn't have had this problem.
Yeah, well,
but it's a question worth asking. We got Patrick Ferrar in the house, and Patrick, I got to ask you, how do you keep an undefeated team out of the national championship?
Well, first of all, how's
everybody doing?
What's up, Newt? What it ain't.
What's up, Newt?
Live 11 color.
Ohio team lineup because of the fact that they got put out by a technicality. And the technicality was the fact that if the level of competition, the Elmer's level of competition, basically was adequate enough to maintain a presence to compete, competitor in the game, you're going to be left out. Well, top quarterback went out. It's in the bylaws. They didn't always want to look at it. It's in the bylaws. That's where it's at. And, they gave the example of, well, you know, when the Buckeyes played Alabama, you know, in the first game, you know, Cordell Jones came in and played. Okay, but other part of it got TCU last year. TCU was like a minor league team when they got in the tournament. So, and it was an embarrassment because the big embarrassment was that last game, ratings were down and money was lost. Okay.
Speaking of money, Patrick, tell me about the betting aspect. I've been dying to talk to you. Oh my God, brother, talk to me. The betting aspect of what's going on.
I said last week. I mentioned last week briefly when I got off air before we got off air. My final comments was that the betting for sports and football from FanDuel and other elements was $22.7 billion.
Whoa, back up.
Hold it, brother.
You can't gloss over that.
Hold it,
brother. You can't gloss. You gotta say it again.
I tell you,
$22 billion
from last year.
$22 billion from last year.
Yeah, it was an upgrade.
Brother, where can I go find that? Because I gotta get these white boys red tomorrow.
really, forget the numbers. Let's take the element of betting, how it really underlined the reason why Florida State ain't in it. Of the four teams that's in it now, who would you bet on? What drives betting more? Those four teams or having Florida State in without their quarterback at it?
That's what I thought. And Michigan. And don't forget the cheetah. Michigan, everybody, did you see the look on their face when they found they had to play Alabama? They said, oh, fuck.
But you know something? You know, bitches from up north.
I say
something else, man. They walk around big and bad, right? Okay, you got Alabama. Take them. We beat Alabama. Know some guys.
Harbaugh gets NFL tickets ready to go coach the NFL because he got an asshole coming.
I'm telling. Hey, and don't count Washington out.
Oh, no.
Yes, sir.
Have you seen Watson's line?
Yes, sir.
They're gonna screw Pennock out of the Heisman, I think, unfortunately.
What did I tell you? What did I tell you a couple weeks ago?
Because they want that white boy. They want that white boy.
What did I tell y'all, man? I got one of my guys. I worked with the Nets. I talked to him briefly about something, and he's connected with with some folks, internationally, and we were talking about football. He said, "Well, they're trying to put the name on the high school right now." I said, "Who answered that?" Bo Nix, and I'm saying, "He's giving me reasons why."
Yeah.
Well, here it is. Don't be surprised.
Yeah,
they're gonna let that white boy win it.
You know what? Put it this
consolation
way.
Prize.
I'm getting visions of Vince Young. Okay, don't give me the Heisman. No problem. I'll just win the damn national championship.
There you go. Hello.
Exactly.
I've always said, what do you want more, Heisman or the first round pick? I'll take the first round pick.
First round pick.
There you go.
I'll take the first round pick for 50, Alex.
Jerry Jones will kill his mom and get the first round pick. if it's Lenny Dix or Bo Nix with a
Hey, look, Jerry Jones might not have a coach. His ass getting called as we speak. You know, business taken out.
Yeah.
So to the devil.
You know what? Put it this way: if you think that's just an appendix, well, you know, I'll just leave it at that.
Well, wait a minute.
This coach gonna mess up. Give me the other boy to coach the team. Put his ass in the hospital.
Reggie, hold on, Reggie. We're missing the obvious. Why don't they just add to the fucking bowl mix? I mean, make it 18.
Is it next year or 2 years from now that they go to 12?
They're going to limit it to 12. It's already been established.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Oh, okay.
Next year, they're doing 12. Yeah.
Oh, next year's 12? Oh, okay.
Yeah, next year's 12.
Hey, but Patrick, when the ACC had about 5 officials in that room?
Yeah. Apparently they were eating when the boat was being done. Yeah. Right there, I guess.
We had some good Dom Perignon. They was drinking. Yeah. They forgot the boat.
No. Yeah, instead of reaching for that extra waffle, they wound up like.
Quite frankly, I have no problem with it. Because what really surprised me is that they put Georgia at 8th, like 6th. That's what surprised me.
To be fair, Georgia probably got screwed worse than Florida State.
Thank
because
you very
they
much.
They lost one game. And basically mm-hmm. went back to sent to their room.
Hey, mm-hmm. really, T Mac, you got to understand when Nick Saban comes in, you got to kiss the ring. Kiss the ring.
I got Professor Ed with me, and I got to ask the professor this question. And good evening. Professor, we already know the deck was stacked. Florida State got screwed. It's possible Georgia could have got screwed along with this. What are they going to do to fix this? Why don't they stop the bullshit and just say we're a bunch of greedy motherfuckers, and this is what we plan to do? And good evening.
Good evening. First and foremost,
sir, happy holidays, sir.
Sing all y'all. Let's start out by recognizing the Negro dominance of the panel. We said several years ago.
T-Mac?
The whole panel. Even Reggie. We were discussing this very thing, and one of the things that came out in the conversation was, this don't make no sense. You got five conferences, you got 4 spots. What happens, one, you know, there's no way to do this without at least one conference being totally eliminated.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's always the Pac-12.
Not this time.
I think the Pac-12 is down to Pac-2 now. But still, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay. Take it a step further. You got 4 spots, 5 conferences. But then somehow or another, you're probably going to get at least 2, like 1-2 spots from one conference. So now 2 conferences are going to get screwed.
Yeah.
Now, this is what we said when this stuff first hit the fan. So, you know, big ups to all y'all. Because it's, and I just say that because several of us are HBCU grads, so we, you know, we take an extra chip on that. But we saw this coming. And how you gonna fix it? Shoot all these fools who put the plan together. Because realistically, you're looking at a situation that's tantamount to the same thing with the presidential race. What, you know?
Yes.
You got all these so-called people running for the spot. There's only one. You got what? I think it's still five. Well, it depends on how you count His Majesty.
Well, that's called the Al Gore complex, right? Because he has the popular vote.
Oh, God. And guess what?
And didn't it come down to Florida?
Didn't he win his own fucking
not just that. Remember, that race was quote-unquote legit.
Where is Al Gore? Is he on milk carton boxes somewhere? Because we ain't seen or heard from Al Gore.
He's the commissioner of the Pac-12 now.
That was the ultimate screw job. Damn, he got screwed.
He's upgrading Twitter right now. He's upgrading
right.
X and Twitter.
I got it. I mean, damn, he got through.
He could cough and hand it to him.
I mean, to the professor's point, I knew from day one when we looked at the fact that if Georgia lost, that was going to eliminate Alabama, and then we knew Florida State still may have got clipped by Texas anyway. Anyway, they still may have got clipped by Texas. When you look at the largest revenue programs, Florida State can't compete revenue-wise, travel-wise, with Washington, Michigan, Alabama,
and Texas.
And Texas. You can't compete.
They
don't get Texas.
I mean, you put their budgets together. Texas has just their own station on 24/7. 24/7 in athletic station.
They got their own airport.
24/7. That's just a fringe. You know, there's brothers got airports, there's preachers and pastors got airports on their, you know, mega preachers on their own property. So that's another story. So the airplane thing is what it is, but they have their own network, man. You got to fund that, and it's independently funded. They funded themselves. They projected themselves. So revenue-wise and business-wise, it was no doubt that Florida State was not going to even get a win. Now the other trade-off to that is, it's not even that. It's the revenue. I mean, Texas travels well. You look at that Rose Bowl when they played SC. I mean, they almost rival SC fans, right? Exactly. From Texas.
That's home game.
And guess what? Right?
Traveling in force.
And guess what? They're going to be playing that Rose Bowl. Revenue, Alabama Super Travels, Washington Super Travels, right?
Mm-hmm.
So revenue-wise, hotels, the revenues they bring to New Orleans and Pasadena, right? I mean, you want the powerhouses. How long is the trip when you do the logistics from Texas to New Orleans? Come on.
Matthew McConaughey may actually have to pay for a ticket this year.
Florida State was not making. And then you have to look at the fallback because Kirby Smart, he has more of a beef than Florida State because he won the last two national championships and he lost the game. So he's got something to say about that. He had a 29-game winning streak, all that. But the moment he lost, he was out. But they win again.
Exactly.
They win again because the odds are seemingly likely people get caught up in the moment, mm-hmm. right? Like the Colorado Buffalo bullshit, all yep. that, you know, in the moment crap. If you look at the fallout, yep. who does Georgia play in the Orange Bowl? They play Florida State. Isn't Florida State the yep. in-state school? Yep. Revenue, because yep. Florida mm-hmm. State's going to show up and yep. they're going to be pissed off, and they're going to get the brakes beat off them by Georgia.
Yep.
Ticked
yep.
off.
Mm-hmm.
So
hey,
Florida,
here's my question,
hold on a second. One second. So Florida State uh-huh. is going to end up with an L, and all of this won't make any sense.
Oh,
we had it right.
Yep.
They can't even beat the fifth-rated team. You were saying, Rich?
How many of those guys from Georgia are going to opt out for the draft and not show up for the bowl game?
They'll be there because yeah. Kirby Smart and his homeboys in Georgia will break them off with whatever they take or whatever they need
to show up
for that home game.
You're not saying that they're gonna compensate them.
No, never. The only smart thing Georgia has done is not roll out Herschel Walker for a public.
Wow, college Division One college players getting a payout.
The NCAA did not, you know, start the draft in the NIL yeah. control system, which is they started, you know, today unrolling out their plan. But back to the game. We can talk about that. But what like Fred said about, you know, knowing this, and this is so obviously predictable. Florida mm-hmm. State is mm-hmm. not getting in 13-0. Doesn't matter. They can't compete with the University of Texas, the University of Alabama, the University of Washington, the University of Michigan for revenue, travel, the impact to the cities they travel to, national rankings, all of that. Florida State will not get the TV attendance in any of those ball games than the current matchups currently will.
That's in the ACC.
Yep. You got that right. Yep. When Jameis Winston and company won the national championship, you know, it didn't hit the register. Then when they went into the they played Oregon, right? Because I remember they played Oregon the following year in the playoff, and Oregon mm-hmm. beat the brakes off them, right? It still wasn't a great game. Florida State, when they came west to play in the Rose Bowl, does not meet the mass appeal and the money thrown into the Pasadena Corpus, the Rose Bowl parade that Alabama brings.
And Alabama's going to bring the whole daggone state because they ain't got nothing.
That's my point. Michigan too.
At the very least, the Commonwealth of Tuscaloosa will be down there.
Patrick, as you well know, the whole goal in the so-called Big Ten prior to, you know, the expansion was to get to the Rose Bowl, right?
That's it.
Last game of the
Number
season.
Two.
Every
that's
time,
it.
Right?
That's
so
that's the whole.
So Michigan,
wait.
When Michigan would win the Big Ten with Bo Schembechler, they would end up where Pasadena
way
to play in the Rose Bowl, right?
And
the
guys,
goal was
and
to get to the Rose Bowl. So in other words, it's already embedded roadmap-wise, right? Travel plan-wise. Michigan has all those travel agencies for many years doing the travel plans to get to Pasadena.
Mm-hmm.
How long
for that championship game be in Vegas? I'm waiting on that. When they gonna bring that baby to Vegas?
Eventually.
Young
but
men
with
Vegas.
Florida State is a pauper with those four universities. It's business. And guess what? They're going to be ticked off, but guess what? We'll hook them up with Georgia. And when Georgia hangs that L on them, we won't be giving a damn about this rant because they ended up with
there
a loss.
Go.
Wait a minute. And Eric, are you saying they're going to beat Georgia, going to be the worst in what Georgia won, a certain
yeah.
team in the championship game?
Yeah. Yeah, Georgia is going to be very violent in that game because of how they got snubbed in their third opportunity. So, yeah, they're coming with vengeance. Florida State is going to be pissed off. It's going to be Florida State with a whole bunch of Florida State fans in the Orange Bowl racking up that money. It works out. I mean, it's business.
It's going to be a home game for Georgia and Florida.
And here's the bottom line. Here's the bottom line for Georgia and my school. You win, you're in the tournament. You lose, you go home. That's what you got.
Yep.
Okay, gentlemen. One thing that's being left out of this or seemingly has been overlooked because nobody wants to touch it, but a 10-foot pole.
Are you going to talk about Liberty University, who's also undefeated?
Hey, the state of Virginia, buddy, watch it. We stand up. We standing up. Jerry Falwell University. And don't you forget it, buddy. Jerry Falwell University.
Y'all sit down because you ain't got the money to do this.
When the creatures run around with little boys and girls.
When we relative this, 13-0, and everybody, how did Florida State get overlooked? Well, so did Florida A&M. And if you know about a little bit of the geography, Tallahassee, Florida, correct?
Yep.
Tallahassee is also the capital of what state?
Florida.
And Fred, I'm going to talk about Florida in a minute.
Who's the governor of Florida?
You're talking about the same. Yeah, we know who it is.
It's the one that he ain't say nothing about it.
Well, he
got busted in the ass.
My contention is that hurt, you know, when you really look at it, that probably hurt them too. Nobody's going to
got that right.
It's the elephant in the room, but still.
Damn, I didn't think about that, Professor. Good point, Professor. I didn't even think about that.
And as much money to see Florida lost in the last year?
Oh, please. I mean, it's on the travel advisory for brothers and sisters to be careful of going. They've lost all kinds of revenue at Florida. Well, you know, I mean, and its state policies and its laws and this, that, and the other. Keep them in state at the Orange Bowl. Have the redneck bowl with Georgia. Georgia's going to blow them the fuck out. And so it's the right four. It's not about the record. If it's about the record, Liberty should be in the talk conversation, too. They play D1 ball. Oh, where they play this schedule.
Yeah.
They ran the table. Tulane, many years ago, was it for the Sean King? That played for Tampa Bay.
Yeah, Sean King.
Was that his name?
Last year with Tulane. So
yeah. Remember when he was at Tulane? Tulane went undefeated. They ran the table. They had him running QB. They didn't get a whiff of anything.
That's right. That was Sean King.
Be honest. We all know that Liberty got an ass when it comes to free shoes. Nike University, this shit is going to be worse than what he did to Deion.
That's what they do.
It's going to be personal.
Well, they match you up to get that
paycheck.
L in the bowl game. Yep. Correct. The same thing with Florida State. They're going to walk
away
with an L.
They're going to treat them like an HBCU. They're going to say, look, HBCU, Liberty, glad you're here, but you're going to take this ass whipping on a national level and go back home.
Yeah.
It ain't going to be pretty.
I mean, there's no matchup there against Oregon. There's just no matchup. But the point being is
they did that to Liberty. God,
they want terrible. They want to end these teams with an L who went undefeated. Basic. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So when Florida loses, we got it right.
I'm going to leave the Lambs to slaughter.
So they lost to Georgia, right? They're going to say, okay, they got blown out by Georgia, and Georgia lost to Alabama. That's the right four.
And guess what, guys? Yeah. Guess why? The ratings are going to go through the rooftop.
You know.
Yes, they will.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, all this ire and pissed off, this won't change a thing. These people pay.
Not a thing.
A little artist huffing and puffing about, and guess what? Did they walk away from the ball game? You know how it works in NCAA, right? When those so-called blue blood programs don't make the tournament, they will not play the NIT. They'll just say our season's over. Where they, in other words, they won't take the ball game.
Don't we talk about University of North Carolina? They
They do it every year.
Hey, UConn did a job on the last night of basketball.
Lord have mercy. Yeah.
Shots fired.
Yeah.
Hey, did Memphis beat VCU tonight? I hope they did. Coach Penny.
No, they were losing. They were losing.
Oh,
Memphis
fuck.
Was losing.
Norfolk State kicked VCU ass.
So the good professor,
so
the good professor talked about the Nazi. I mean, come on, all of us knew what this shit was. I mean, even to try to even take on the conversation of ACC and all these terminologies, you're not going to outdo the University of Texas on the business scale. It's business, and you have no power, you have no say. You're still going to pay for your tournament fees. You're still going to pay the NC2A to be part of their organizational network. And then they're going to come up with a team that you sanction, all these universities and athletic directors and school presidents sanction having these committees.
And you
sanctioned this. Now you want to push back because it didn't work out your way. You're not good enough, actually. That's the truth.
Mike, let me give you this. I was talking about this earlier this evening. Now, you know, last week, the NCAA commission went to D.C. for the NIL, which included about all big teams, Big Ten, Big 12, ACC, SEC, and they went there to discuss legislation to avoid the permanent damage of college athletics. Now, today, the NCAA president, Charlie Baker, says, look here, this is what we're going to do. We're going to discuss how we legislate this because they went to D.C. and didn't get really what they wanted. So we're going to do something creative. What we're going to do creative is create a two-tier system to where the what we call the subdivision teams, which are the lower level NCAA
teams. The mid-majors.
Here's what happens. The money they get will be put into a trust for players, as opposed to larger teams can have NIL and make decisions that they want the money as they want to. He's realizing what's happening now. It's going to be a two-tier system.
Okay.
They've already made it happen money-wise. They talked about money. He said it's super progressive.
Yeah.
No, what the ball down is these lawsuits that they thought they can get through with D.C. with all the people they have working for them, it ain't going to work. It's going to
with
money.
Is that proposal stage? Is that the proposal stage? Nothing's finalized. It's a dialogue, right? You just had a proposal. They've documented the proposal.
There's one problem with the plan, and that's going to be the young ladies. Somewhere down the line,
that's not true because to your point where I was going to is the fact that that plan and program is equilibrium amongst the programs. So there's no one getting the chunk fee. So in other words, if you're in the women's swim team, the women volleyball team, because you're in a mass appeal sport like basketball, there's an equilibrium system on how that money's going out. So the free-for-all that has taken place up until these previous years and, you know, showing up in your Oikos commercials, also showing up in that Heisman Trophy commercial while we see, Williams from SC, and we've seen Bryce Young before while they were still in school. They're showing up on these national advertisements for Dr. Pepper as well, all these things like that. It's going to get mitigated a lot more because these schools that they're utilizing to get that are going to get a revenue stream from the NIL. And that's because the schools are saying, we ain't getting shit, right? The players are getting it, and they're cool with the players getting it, but you're going to have to break it off. So what it's been will no longer look the same.
And guess what?
How much is coaches' salary going to get cut? Some of these coaches' salary need to get cut.
There's players out there, and it's such a ruination thing when it's not managed right. It's a free for all. There's guys that will stay on the college, and this is the best money they'll ever see. I mean, yep. And they're being pimped out all over the place. In other words, if they put your name on, they're getting pimped out at an all-time high level with this NIL. But go ahead.
Thank you. Say that again.
This shit ain't no liquid thing. They're getting pimped.
Thank you. They're getting pimped. And let's look at it from a standpoint of sponsorship.
Yeah.
I mean, Dr. Pepper came out of nowhere, and mm-hmm. they jumped on this and said, mm-hmm. how much money can we make from this? They started a series of commercials where they have tripled their revenue.
Yeah.
Triple.
Mm. Yeah.
We're talking a commercial. We're not talking, like my man said, not a game, a fucking commercial.
Right. Not practice. Yeah. Not a game, right? Absolutely. I mean, and the thing is that when you sign these deals, no one talks about what happens when you put your name on the dotted line and you twist your ankle. Do you still get the money? We're not seeing you visibly. No.
Oh, hell no.
Yeah.
No.
That's my point.
All I got to say is Louisville and a broken leg.
There was a university of Miami. There was twin girls at University of Miami.
Yeah.
Right. Couldn't play a piano in terms of skill set. But they have the commercial appeal, I'll call it that, to the masses. Not maybe our taste, but to the masses. And one left the University of Miami that averaged like 4 points a game, whatever. And the amount of time stuff she left on the table financially, there's like she almost has to get out of the school system, the education system at all. Because they branded her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? You get branded with these agreements.
And that's the killer. I'm having a guy on my show next week who works with the NIL, this big office in the city. He's coming to matter of fact, he moved from L.A. to New York to work with the company and how they're rebranding this whole idea of the kind of money that's given them. I mean, I thought that, what's his name from Nebraska? God, the coach who was at Temple.
Matt Rule.
I thought Matt Rule was being kind of crazy. Matt Rule was lying. Matt Rule was pissed because he can't get the money, so he put it out there to bum out everybody else. But he said, Patrick, that's right. That's why things have to be adjusted with this, particularly with the portable
But a lot of this is super mythological. If people do not have clear clarity, like you can see an NBA contract can break down. Who negotiates your NIL deal? That's flaw number one. Mm-hmm. There's no professionals doing that. So are you 1099 or W-2? You don't even want to cross that bridge. You're going to probably be 1099, independent contractor, because you're not a W-2 employee of these organizations.
Shit. That means double taxes coming out of your ass.
So you got to file the taxes against that, all right? What's your tax break? Where's the income coming from? You're not generating any income because you're not employed anywhere. So it's like a consultancy at best.
And that's one thing they've got today. How the unions are backing, that's one of the problems, with the suits against NCAA. There's some unions backing up players getting NIL money.
I mean, they don't have no fight in the game on that one because the thing is, it's like if you're a scholarship athlete, the university always has that leverage because NIL ain't paying for your damn scholarship. Things are so mythological when you start breaking down the rudiments of this, thinking it's some kind of liquid asset resource for these players. It's not. It's biology 101. Yeah, you get broken off. Mm-hmm. You know, back in the day, there was a lot of underhanded stuff.
Please.
I mean, the UCLA empire was built on a guy named Sam Gilbert, their top number one center of the booster, right? Carcanyon used to go.
Now there you go,
like,
turn on the shin God. Now why are you gonna talk about God?
Not John Wooden, not the Wizard of Westwood who borrowed
not
from
George
Coach
Burns
Man.
Coming
not
down.
Not the Wizard
George
of Westwood. The Wizard of Westwood who borrowed from Coach McClendon. But moving on. So these whole processes.
Now, Eric,
moving
there you
on.
Go getting the facts out the way. Now, there you go.
Gotta do what we do. But I want to just share that because working with a number of young people who get these D1 scholarships, from the region I work with and having coached in this area that a lot of people will go to. I've seen the layout on this NIL. I've seen what it looks like directly. Now, you're talking about some hocus-pocus magician branding shit. That's the NIL. And so the legislation component that they're talking about, I'm not in all the legislation point. Take it what you can, get broken off, but you can't live on these resources.
There you go.
So you tell me no more cars underneath the table no more? No more getting them clothes?
What did Coach Sanders say in Colorado when he says, we're not buying players? Because we're not buying players.
Liar.
Well, unless your family. But the point being, unless your family, that's okay.
Yeah.
But the point being is, where are the HBCU complex, right? No one's talking about NIL at the HBCU.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Lucky we can even build a stadium. Speaking of HBCU guys, I want to ask Fred this question about the Celebration Bowl this coming weekend, all right? No, next weekend.
Yeah, in 2 weeks.
But there's been a talk about the Florida A&M quarterback having some opportunities at the next level. Also, the big tackle from Howard is going to be in
the
East West All-Star game.
That
boy's a day. I got pictures of him last year when he was up here. That boy's a mountain. Do you know anything about them, Brett?
Hey, but real quick, Patrick, number 15 for the Cowboys played for Florida A&M.
Yeah.
The defense, the linebacker.
Linebacker, yep. So,
he's kicking ass.
This kid, Jerry Musa, is who was at Hawaii, is I think he was the SWAC player of the year. And there was some buildup about that. Sitting some stuff. I said, I didn't know he was that good, but he was the SWAC player of the year. He must have some kind of juice.
I don't know where Howard found that gentleman that played tackle for them.
Yes.
I don't know how they're going to deal with this whole thing of near about 5 to 7 players who will be playing on either side of the Celebration Bowl that should be in consideration for these other show games and so forth. Now, I understand that there is an HBCU All-Star game that's out there. So maybe that will help. But then a couple of these guys have invitations for, quote, the major college show games. And I don't know how I'm not quite sure how they're going to handle that, because the way it plays out, the Celebration Bowl will be over before Christmas, and then these All-Star games, I think they're 7 to 10 days out in practice, and then do your testing, and so, Florida A&M has a quarterback. There's a couple of linebackers out there who are playing in that game,
and a wide receiver that they're looking at also. That's interesting.
Yeah, there's about seven guys who are being invited to one of those show games or another. I haven't watched one of those in about 10 years.
Yeah, the sad thing about it is Howard going to travel. If Howard don't travel, it's going to be a bit let down. Yeah. We know Florida A&M going to travel, but
Howard has a lot of people from the Atlanta area as well as Florida, across the South. There's a lot of who go to Howard.
We'll see how they travel.
But, regardless,
Central bring a crowd as well as the other one.
Hold on. Regardless of Howard or FAMU, you got to realize that the All-Star games and the portal for creating guys to play in these games has been diminishing for years. Remember the blue-gray game? They used to have that all the time around this year.
Yeah.
And they stopped it because they said they couldn't make any money from it. They had to create a portal just like the transfer portal now that's going to bring these people back in. These guys got to feel like there must be a place to showcase their talents. Otherwise, it's another money grab, and they don't get the money. They just get grabbed.
Michael, you had the East-West games. You had the North-South games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they're going to.
Hey, remember back in the day they had that thing. Did you play the Super Bowl champs? It used to be a college all-star team that was playing the
that was
Super Bowl champs.
Yeah.
Yes. Remember that?
That
very
was
well.
Real popular too, until they beat the college kids beat some
the Steelers. I believe they beat the Steelers one year.
Yes, they did.
In one of those games.
But yeah, they after the Steelers lost,
right?
Somehow or another, the plug got pulled on that All Star game because it was raining so hard.
Yeah, it rained so hard. You're right, Fred. It rained so hard that they canceled the game. But the college All Star, they were up.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Because if you look at
how many water hoses did they have?
They had quite a few.
Yeah, it made a difference.
I think the Dolphins lost out there one year as well. But those are some interesting, contests, know, that were played. But it's a whole new game, man. You know, in terms of that, the revenues are insane. The amount of attendance. No NFL team can pack a stadium like Michigan can pack a stadium. Like Tennessee,
Ohio State,
the way they pack those stadiums from the coast,
they travel.
Level, and they travel.
And they travel.
Right,
they travel.
And so their revenue stream, the NFL crushes on the TV money because of the amount of games that they play and all the unique modems that they use these days, Amazon, Peacock, ESPN, NFL Network, Fox, CBS, ABC as well, and with the ESPN complex. That's the question.
And the only way that you could equalize it is let's switch from football to basketball. Basketball, there's schools that travel big time. They travel. I mean,
the number one revenue maker in all of college sports is March Madness.
Yes, much. Yes, it comes.
As good as college football is and all that.
Yeah, Madness.
March Madness. Devastate
college football
in terms of revenue. That's why it's going on 12 networks when we start True TV.
There you go.
CBS, CBS. You know, and ESPN can't get a cent of that. They can't get a cent of that tournament money.
Yep. Oh, by the way, Fred, one more thing. You were sponsored on my man left from Grambling. They kind of have mutual separation. What's the coach?
Hugh Jackson.
Yeah, he left Grambling.
Back to the Nostradamus moment. I think there was some panelists here that said that he was going to last, about the time he's lasted.
I saw him when they played Grambling this year in Newark. He got handsome players, but I do think his system, the way he was a little bit more complicated than what the kids wanted to do, personally, where he played the game. But, yeah, they mutually separated. So they left this guy, John Simon, become the coach. He was the offensive coordinator. No, one of the assistant coaches, I think it was.
I mean, anyone can see the brother was going to use that as a jump off like another coach.
Yeah.
He wasn't
there
for the longevity.
Yeah.
The nitty-grittiness of being a collegiate coach, scouting, recruiting, great checks, counseling with players, managing your staff,
promoting your program, recruiting in some backwoods area, talking to parents, being on the job. That's a coach that deals with that. Those brothers weren't built for that nitty-gritty like the old-school coaches who did all of that and then some. They may have even went out and put the chalk lines down. These guys weren't built for that.
And guess what? See, you has been in the NFL. He knows what money is. He don't want to chase. He wants to be able to get there.
He does. Yep.
That's for sure.
Well, I mean, that's short-circuited because I don't see another shot in you-know-what for him to get another HC job at that level. And the fact that he went to the HC just to get back on but not do the nitty-gritty work. A little different than my man Reggie Theus when he went to Bethune-Cookman, right?
Yeah.
Reggie went there and been there, done that. But Reggie's, you know, dialed in. Then he had to deal with Ed Reed's bullshit, right? And I know Reggie, and Reggie was talking like, he couldn't wait to go one-on-one and shit, you know, in the gym. Just him and Ed. I know Reggie. I know how he thinks it that way. And he was alluding to that. He said, don't play me for no damn pretty boy and shit. I'm from fucking L.A. and shit, right?
Yeah.
You know, and so the point being is, but he's been trying to do work. He's putting his effort in. He's boots on the ground. And he's had the highlights. That's a little bit different. These other cats have come in with that. And Eddie George, props to Eddie. Eddie's boots on the ground. He's doing all the deep dive shit.
Yes.
These pretty boy dudes, I'm saying pretty boys in terms of not wanting to go that deep, feeling superior because they were in the NFL. I'll just do this HBCU. They crap on the legacy of Eddie Robinson and these other coaches, where Eddie George uplifts that legacy of Coach John Mayer. Bit different. And right, Fred? Would you concur with that, Fred?
Excuse me?
Would you concur with that? What are your thoughts on that?
I think he's done yeoman's work there because if nothing else, in my humble opinion, you can't find legacies better than the likes of Coach Mary. And as I said before, you know, guys like you who went to Tennessee State, y'all ain't got no excuse for not having a winning attitude and work ethic and all that.
Absolutely.
He saw it every day.
Absolutely.
You know, I remember talking to one of the Tiger Bells. And
yes, Lord.
My favorite.
They laughed at competition because they think about it. You got to go out and run against Skeeter every day. This is how this young lady put it to me. You got to go out and do your quarters with Skeeter every day.
Every day, man.
Running in competition was a piece of cake because practice was hell for them.
And well, it was hell for the other teams too, right? Real quick to that, I mean, they would run the da-da-da out of us. There was no sports trainers at Tennessee State University. Mm. It was the Tiger Bells. We would meet at this park, and there the ladies were, like, telling us what to run. They were talking shit. You know what I mean? Like, get after it. And these were the actual track athletes, and they had all the powers embedded to the coach of how they were trained. They understood. There was no trainers or sports athletic trainers for the basketball teams during those eras. Even before that, but even the other sports teams, it was the Tiger Bells. It was led by women.
And my buddy Taylor was there just explaining what kind of mood he was in.
Literally, you know, and so you made, well, you're dealing with world-class athletes. You're dealing with Olympians, right? I mean, the first Olympic team was, what, 80% Tiger Bells for the women's team and even coached by Tennessee State's coach, who's many times the Olympic coach. So these legacies that we talked about, I mean, it can be overbearing to suckers because they can't stand the greatness and the truth of these realities. But this was, like Fred said, there was an understanding that. So when we were seeing these other people matriculating into the HBCU culture, absolutely have at it, but they weren't coming in. They were using it as the jump off, the gateway, and using this as, hey, I'm going to the HBCU to be a savior and help them all out. I'm going to bring attention to them. We're going to do certain things. That's all hocus pocus, Bill. We could see that happening. But so many people bought into that bullshit, and it was all set up as a jump off. This was a plan. Go there 3 years, do your thing. You're hooked up with a lot of these hedge fund manager people, these people in the media matrix,
We'll pump you up. We'll position you. We'll use these outlets, and then you'll look like the savior and hero. So when you go from a historically black university to a historically white university, watch these jiggers bandwagon the shit because they're not looking at the historicals. It was quite embarrassing, to say the least.
Yeah, and speaking of that, here's a question. I was talking to a guy last week, last Saturday. I did the Rutgers game. I played Illinois, and Illinois got a team, but I thought they were.
Illinois football?
Basketball. What's his name? Steve Bartle of Big Ten.
Bartle's the announcer guy. Yeah, Steve. Yeah. Illinois. He played for Illinois,
Good. He and Gil all play together. Good dude. But we were talking about, and I was talking to him, because one of the guys he was talking to was a friend of his, was an ACC graduate from Virginia State. And I was talking to him, when is the basketball element in HBCU schools going to be able to put together something again? And we talked briefly about it, and he was saying much of what we're saying in terms of all the nuances of money and elements of NIL, things of that nature. But I said, there's enough good ball players around there that it should be grabbed on to one of these schools to where it could highlight some of the HBCU basketball.
Well, with the sneaker deals, right, the shoe cons, with the Adidas, Nike, they control these tournaments, right? They control these AAU systems. They have, you know, and then the NBA players involved. They've got the LeBron camp. They got this camp, that camp.
It's all linked to
the shoe deal. So many of the best prep players are already tied up with Nike and already tied up with Adidas. So many times, guess what? They're going to go to a Nike and Adidas school.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's where it's pimped out. So the assembly line of basketball right now, if you look at maybe what they consider the legitimate top prospects, say they go at young ages, but say around 15 is when they really start kicking in.
You're looking
at if you look at the top players there, say there's 25 of them, 20 of them are going to go to the NBA if they don't get hurt. So they've created an assembly line like that, like Montverde Academy, where my man Kevin Boyle's at, right?
He
was at what? He was in Jersey for a while, St. Elizabeth.
He was in Elizabeth coaching, battled for years.
Yeah. And so if you look at the top picks, he had Kyrie Irving when he was in Jersey. Right. He had my man that went to Indiana Pacers, Harrington, right? Played for him.
Shaheen, who coached him.
He's had Ben Simmons, the kid from Detroit who was a top pick that went to Oklahoma State, forgot his name, Embiid, right? And there's several other top NBA players that went through the Montverde system. Now they got this white kid that's going to Duke, Cooper something, inside of Maine.
Cooper, I saw him. He got a little game to him.
He can play. He can play. And so the point of the matter is Montverde Academy, I mean, Kevin has had more top picks and top schools than Division One schools, right? And so now they flock there. So it's a system of these private schools, prolific prep. A good friend of mine, a colleague, son plays for Illinois, you know, Hawkins. Coleman Hawkins.
Yeah, it was just Saturday.
A good colleague, peer of mine, that's his son. He's from this region, right? He went to prolific prep. In all these areas like that. So they've created all these different schools. It's almost you get no life coming in, right, with these areas. And the other thing that's impacting where it could help an HBCU, to your point, Patrick, where it could help an HBCU is when the transfer portal, they're no longer recruiting freshmen no more if they get the transfer portal stack.
That's killing freshmen.
That's where the HBCU can say, listen, they're going to go to the transfer portal. We're going to show you love out of the gate. The only problem with that is you've got to have that dynamic coach. You've got to have that dynamic coach in that level. The coaches of the past, we're not going to see those types again, you know, that were these incredible, great coaches at any level, coaching Olympics teams, coaching Hall of Famers across the board in so many capacities. where's these coaches being drawn from? I mean, I'm looking at some of the brothers coaching on some of these HBCU teams. I'm like, damn, homeboy, you got to stop going to IHOP. You know what I'm saying?
That's true. Yeah, because you won't.
Can you get to a practice? Damn, I mean, you got to go out there and do some demonstration.
Yeah,
you know what
yeah,
I mean? I'm doing a drill set, but it looks like you haven't seen your belt buckle and shit since Custer was a Boy Scout.
So, but it's true because we were saying, I said, all these players out here, I mean, there's some HBCUs who would be attracted to, because everybody can't get to certain schools. But I'm saying there's got to be, there's somewhere out there that some ball players, if we're going to go to this school and we're going to turn out, we're going to change the narrative about what can happen at this level of basketball. And we're talking about when will and where will it happen. That's all.
Yeah. Well, like you said, there's an opportunity with the freshmen, but again, who's coaching them up, right? What happened with the collegiate football teams when Eddie George was the name wreck, and, well, he was not going to work out. I mean, that was just not a mix. He's a SoCal guy. Going to the deep yonder of Louisiana was not a mix, man. That was not going to work out and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then Dion, you know, he's a Southern kid, you know, initially spent a lot of time in Texas. So Jackson State was a little bit different, but he has some appeal there. But they understand you have to bring in some dynamic personalities to study the other, or someone who can coach to attract these young people because they like the bling. They like the Instagram shit. You know, so you get an assistant coach within the program 10 years, and he can't get off the damn ham hock. Shit, they got to go with what they got.
Because there are too many ball players out here that it should happen. It should happen.
But you have to attract him. What's the brother that's at, man, is it Morgan State? Yeah, Baltimore School, Morgan State. He played for Maryland's national championship team.
Okay,
he was a guard there.
Yeah, I ain't talking about. Yeah, I've got his name.
You know what I'm saying? He had a little bit of love. I mean, he's done a little, you know, some good work there. He's got some pedigree. He brings in a few players. I just don't know what's happening with the MEAC hoops and shit. You know, I mean, they have some opportunities there because they're in the backyard where there's a lot of players in that DMV.
Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, Michael B. Jordan is bringing the game back to Newark this year. They sold out last year. It's a potential. They're already advertising, which is great. They're doing the right thing. They advertise for the game now. That's going to happen in February. They brought buses of people up here from four HBCU schools. I think it's very good. And the game wasn't. I got to the end of the second game. I had to do another game, but I got to the end of the second game. Del State was playing somebody. It was good. It was a good game. Good game. Good spirit. So I think that's one of the ways to attract some players, to bring them into to the realm of what they can do and expose them to schools, and you know, change the narrative, change how it looks.
Well, it's a real good point. It's a good point.
If I may interrupt, please interrupt this broadcast to remind everybody what the fuck these assholes are doing out here. David Carr,
who's
a dead roach quarterback, and I mean dead roach quarterback.
Wow.
He was 22 as a starter. He's thrown more interceptions than touchdowns this year. And he had the nerve. He had the colossal fucking nerve to tell Jalen Hurts that he needs to sit down so that Marcus Mariota can be the quarterback for the Eagles after they got their ass whipped in San Francisco 49ers. Now, I didn't just say this because it was my Eagle. I say this because this is a blight on the industry, and everybody should be up on this. We have too many people that don't know what the fuck they're talking about. It's one thing to be in the industry. It's another thing to be versed in the industry. If you don't know your subject matter, please go the fuck home. And David Carr does not know what time it is. And unfortunately, this is the kind of shit that the brothers have to put up with, which is why Kwame Brown and others had to develop their own shit to drown out the nonsense that comes out from the people like David Carr.
See, Mike, this is where at that time they didn't have the concussion protocol to help them get through this, man, to make them kind of statements. Because he got beat up more than he got born to be the stepchild, you know, Christmas, man. And what's worse is before he said that, he should have saw his brother's game Sunday where he got beat up like a sub. Before he started making comments about Jalen Hurts, he needs to look at that first.
Yes, indeed, Hurts, don't it? But I digress.
This
is the kind of nonsense that repeat itself. We look at numbers, and the numbers supposedly tells the truth. It's one thing. White supremacy when it comes to sports can't change. That's facts.
Yeah, yeah.
We talked about the quarterback in Jalen Hurts. That's 33-13. He's won his last 17 of his last 15 games.
And he's the problem.
Yeah, he's the problem.
And this Sunday they got to play who? Who they playing this Sunday?
Dallas.
Cowboys.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Okay, we'll see.
Well, Mike, to kind of build on your rush to judgment media process, Von Miller. Allegedly, you know, had some charges against him involving a domestic situation.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, they haven't.
The
national network that weighed in and said, keep your hands off women. Really? I mean, do you have the charges? Are you reading that from the police report?
Thank you.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That was heinous.
Yep.
That was terrible. That was directed. And they all piled in on Von Miller without doing direct.
They sure did.
Keep your hand off women multiple times. Did that happen? Do you have photos? You got the video? Mm-hmm. Is it on TikTok? That was horrible. Yet this one dude named Giddy from the Oklahoma Thunder, watch it from Australia, got photos online with a underage girl, a high schooler, and no word from that same panel.
No word. And the picture of the girl was
very provocative.
Yeah,
we'll
yeah.
say that.
Yes.
And we as grown men, if that's our daughters, or we as men, period, knowing how life works out, right, can look at that, and the litmus test would be clear of what activities may or may not take place, which really is not my business, but we know the laws. But when that took place with photographic proof and investigation, no words, but there's nothing on Von Miller except charges and, you know, warrants.
And here's what's interesting. The commissioner said he could play.
So, in other words, this rush to judgment language was back again under the guise of being pro-brother, pro-African-American, black thing, wearing the HBCU jacket, visiting the campus, all this black this pomposity. When it came back to drilling the brother, I said, and since you mentioned Kwame Brown weighed in on that same topic of the comparisons between this NBA player, you're from Australia, and Von Miller, and what the comments were, and lambasted these people's rush to effing judgment.
And
so it goes back to what Mike's statement again about if you're in a position of influence and have listeners and you do that and you're doing a rush to judgment indictment with no facts, very, very heinous activity. It's not lightweight.
It's one of the things that I thought was interesting, again, about the response, to particularly today when the commissioners, when I saw that he could possibly play on Sunday.
The Bills themselves said they're going to let the process play out, right? They're going to let the process play out, all right? So they may have a little more facts online than what was mentioned on the national program denigrating his brother. And there's so
hey,
people
Jim,
who are right this shit.
I have one question. When are we going to see another Jim Rome and Chris Everett? You know, it's been about 5 or 6 years. I think it's time for another Chrissy. One more time, Chrissy. Pop! Help me. Somebody help me. Get this guy off me.
I ain't forgot it.
You know
people,
what?
Without trying to be funny.
They'll never go one-on-one with a
person. Somebody could have got hurt behind that bullshit. I remember when Chris Bosh was out there and that little dickhead from ESPN tried to call him names.
Spice Box.
Didn't call him a name.
Box Spice or something like that, yeah.
Yeah, something like that. I was like, please whip his ass because somebody needs to get knocked the fuck out and under nip this shit in the bud. Because too many of these talking heads talk shit and can't back it up. Or walk back it up.
I mean, and Big Dog Robinson was begging for a ESPN talk show talking head to get into a one-on-one MMA style charity event, right? He wanted hands because this person denigrated for so long, and of course, the person started. Well, violence is not the answer. You know, he's 6'8", I'm only this. I don't do that. Right, exactly, pussy talk. Sorry for the language. But the point being is that's what happened. I mean, Big Dog was like, yo, you can use your forum. I can't defend myself in the forum, but I'll be more than glad to do a charity event with you.
Just a matter of talking about denigration of good football play. This afternoon, they announced that here in the city, in New York, Jersey area, that the Jets are going to bring back Zach Wilson one more time. After him saying, allegedly saying that, I don't want to play, I want to get hurt. And Aaron Rodgers had to come in and help save the team from total embarrassment. And so Zach's going to be out there again this week. Now, I'm one of what was saying. I'm not blaming anything on that kid at all, but he ain't helping.
Jet fans need to know Zach Wilson died for your sins. I mean, look how much money the Jets lost. Look how much money the Jets lost gambling on Aaron Rodgers.
Oof.
I mean, all the games that they expected to be in prime time, all the spots, all the sidelines, the bumpers. Everything, they spent a lot of New York money on a New York team that's not even in New York. And look what it got. Not a fucking thing.
Well, they ain't even the New York Giants. They had a prime time for the love.
And they play prime time Monday. I mean, they even
had the Jets on the Black Friday game, a Friday football game on the biggest shopping day of the year. With Amazon Network, right? And that was a home game for the Jets, right?
That was supposed to be the
Aaron Rodgers game. I mean, at some point in time, I mean, how incredibly stupid is Robert Saleh? At some point in time, Wilson out there. He hired Hackett. So when what's the dude that coaches the Broncos, Sean? What's
Sean
his name again? The Broncos head coach?
Sean Payton.
Sean Payton. Yeah. So when Payton went in and said, this guy did the worst coaching job in history, you know, he took heat for it and then the Jets sneak the win. Mm-hmm. Is he wrong when we've seen the worst offense in NFL history ran by Hackett?
Well, the most horrid
offense in NFL history.
Well, I'll say this in terms of Scallop. He's being told what to do. Well, I know about the Jets. He's being told what to do.
Yeah.
He's not making up decisions by himself.
Okay, well, that makes sense then. So he said,
believe me.
Okay.
He's
telling him what to do.
Yeah, they tell him what to do.
I take your word on that.
Like I said, working around the Jets all the years.
Makes a lot of sense.
Them junior executives who sell everything they can about the Jets based upon the fact that they have They got Johnson as the owner, who's corporate personified. What in the hell is going on? Keep him out there. You go up there and tell him that that's what's going on.
That makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense.
That's true.
That makes a lot of sense. They were going to struggle anyway with that offensive line, even with Rodgers.
And I told somebody this week who was a diehard Jets fan, he answered the basic question, why did they pick up Zach Wilson in the first place? I said, it's because of the fact that there was a plan, once again, by the junior executives of the Nets, of the Jets all these years, that they want that kid's face on the front of the the Daily News here locally as a star quarterback, because they thought the team was going to be good, followed by a big promotion by guess who? His uncle, who owns Jet Blue, was going to be Jet Green for a big promotion.
Got it.
Right, but his face should have been on milk cartons. And have you seen me? Because this motherfucker.
Ooh, he's terrible. That makes a lot of sense if Salah's just a yes man, because he's got enough football intel to see the catastrophe that goes out there every weekend. They have no shot to win with that offensive system.
Oh, no.
Zero.
No. And here's for the insulting thing. Well, I get angered with the Jets in this NFL in period. How do you get a guy like Tim Boyle, who played Boston College, threw one pass and 13 interceptions for an NFL team, and you get a freaking job? And their brothers out here who can play quarterback, and they can't get a snow at the NFL.
Trevor Siemian can't get any run. He's the best backup they have on that team.
Oh, please.
Yeah.
And he's not great, but you know, he's got some run with Denver and some other teams as a starter. Boyle is horrible.
Well, they cut him.
They cut Siemian or Boyle?
They cut Boyle, and they brought Ripon. They used to play for the Cowboys. I mean, for the Redskins. They brought in this
Mark Ripon's kid.
My goodness gracious.
I'll say this before you go to final thoughts. When it comes to numbers, I asked you guys a couple weeks ago, name me a quarterback with 100 victories or brother, and we got the Russell Wilson. Donovan McNabb has 92 victories. Steve McNair has 91 victories. They both have more than Dan South, whose punk ass is in the Hall of Fame. Dan South ain't shit. I've said this many a time. He's an average fucking quarterback who had a nuclear arsenal on offense, and he still
took it
to a Super Bowl, let alone to a playoff game. He had not just receivers. Chuck Muncy was a fullback.
Yeah.
Muncy, James Brooks,
unbelievable.
Little James, Kellen Winslow, Trilly Joyner, John Jefferson.
Yes,
even
Lord.
I
yes, sir.
Can make that team score points. And
unbelievable.
He couldn't get shit done. I say no more. Reggie, set it off. Find the
yes, sir.
Reggie.
You know, interesting that a certain person in baseball was told, and Pat, you know where I'm going with this. I'm sorry, Pat didn't bring it up. You father people no longer can talk about my money. You people right here in my culture, and Pat, you can back me up, in my culture, we don't discuss money. Quietly kept, this young man who has Tommy John surgery can't pitch next year, but he can be a DH. They talking about anywhere between $400 to $500 million with a salary coming in. Patrick, that sound familiar?
Well, go on. I ain't gonna mess with it. Go on. I ain't gonna mess with it.
what's amazing to me is that in his culture, he's telling these teams, billionaires, that guess what? We can open up your brand, Blue Jays, or either the West Coast is even better, because the Japanese market can watch the games in the morning time and make more money.
Yes.
And they have a culture right now that if you drop $500 million to this player, oh, my God, maybe triple it, quadruple it. I'm not a money market person, but I hope Patrick can help me when he does the closing argument.
And Rich, it's going to happen. I'll leave it at that. It's going to happen.
I let Patrick help me with that one.
And people are pissed off that he hasn't made any decision yet. I'm taking my time to make my decision.
Excuse me. I had to ask Mike, can Patrick have 2 minutes of my closing arguments to explain to the audience what we're talking about?
We're talking about Shirani, the baseball player that everybody's bidding for, Blue Jays, Yankees, Mets behind the scenes. And the Dodgers really have an insight on him. I heard Stephen A. pissed off that he hadn't made a decision yet. He ain't got to make a decision. Baseball season just ended a couple weeks ago, something like that. Take your time.
Yep.
Because, what he does will dictate what everybody else does. So people want him to hurry and make a decision about his so they can kind of get the plays behind him. He's taking his time.
Yep.
Yep.
That's all.
I agree.
I'm going to go with... Mike, I'm going to go into mine real quickly. A name named Jody Foster applies a personal touch to making history at North Carolina A&T. First of all, she's fine, number one. But number one,
yes, Lord.
Reggie, do you know who she is?
No, but yeah. Tell her, brother.
Well, she's going to be the first ever female director of football operations at North Carolina A&T. Yes.
Wait, what's
your lady's name? Her name is Jordan Foster. She's going to be at North Carolina A&T's, the youngest of football.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, I did see that.
Yes.
She's the youngest AAD.
The director of sports operations. And why that's as important is because of the fact that sports operations people are in charge of the mechanisms of how a team runs behind the scenes, what plays you put. And that's a position over the years that was really taken for granted. I didn't find out how important it is until I started working in professional sports. And those positions were never open to any woman of any color, whether it be college or pro.
Yes.
But because things have expanded, this young lady has gotten that position, and they didn't just give it to her. She really earned the position relative to her knowledge and her going at the position with the kind of intensity and understanding of what can be done. So congratulations to North Carolina A&T, and hopefully she does well and expands her aspects with this business even further.
What was her name again?
Right off.
Jordan Foster, Jodday Foster. She's at North Carolina A&T.
Hey, Patrick, send me an article, man. I got to piss some white folks off on the show tomorrow. I'm sorry. I can't help it.
I like that. Professor,
the blood.
You buy some
blood.
White folks right now. Professor, come on in.
Well, first of all, I don't know if y'all knew this, ever man that worked with him. The Kyle Serber, who was at North Carolina Central for the last 29 years and 11 months, left about two. It's been about a month ago now. He's over at Duke University. He has been named their SID in charge of basketball operations.
Oh.
Get the hell out of here. Are you serious?
Cal is a great for those who don't know him, he's a great guy. We used to juggle with him about being too white and all that other kind of stuff. But he did a great job for the Eagles over the last almost 30 years.
All right.
He is one young man. There was a joke in the press box. If you go black, you never go back. And he married a young lady who was a student at Central at the time. And they have, I think, three kids. and he's one white guy I can say who ever talked about having to have a talk with a black son, blew him out of the water. But he's off to a great start. Unfortunately, the other night they were on TV from Georgia Tech, and they lost. And I had to hit him up with Hurst, but you know we were cool like that. The other thing I want to talk about real quick is that you know as we start ending the year, you know, think about all the great things that happened this year. This has been a rough year, but it's our first full year post-COVID. I'll be purchasing my ticket to the CIAA to Baltimore and back in the next couple of days and get that squared away. But, you know, there's more good out there than there is bad, no matter how we look at it.
I agree.
And I'm putting together a book on Black alumni, HBCU alumni. You know, from time to time it gets a little emotional because we start knowing some of the backstories that are not necessarily covered in that particular article, but you know those backstories. And that's why I still say we got to tell our own story. We've done great things in spite of a lot of craziness, and we're still doing great things now, and even greater things ahead of us.
Word.
BlackHandInterview.com, all kinds of good shit, knowledge, righteousness, and wisdom from the professor. Eric.
Yeah, thank you from the distinguished gentleman from North Carolina, the emeritus himself, Professor Fred Whitted. So these campaigns we've been hearing about, these saviors to the HBCUs, right? Oh, they're having the HBCU All-Star Game. Oh, you know, we're going to wear the HBCU local jacket. Oh, they're going there to save the community. I'm here to save the HBCUs. We knew that was a myth. I just wanted to share why even more so that was a mythological. Late last month, there were three alumni from HBCUs who filed a lawsuit for the underfunding of three public HBCUs, right? So the lawsuit was filed by these alumni and in federal court against the Georgia Board of Regents. We did talk about the University of Georgia, so let's talk about these other universities, for allegedly failing to equally fund the state's public historically black universities. So the lawsuit cites unequal treatment at Albany State University, Fort Valley State University, and Savannah State University. That's where Shannon went. According to the Atlanta Journal and Constitution. So according to the lawsuit, alleges that the Georgia Board of Regents took resources away from HBCUs and directed them towards predominantly white institutions. It also says that Georgia's three public HBCUs rely on state funding more than other institutions, and that there are currently no alumni serving on the board. So, you know, we are seeing, again, some people, NIL, the bowl system. Well, in the HBCU systems, the underfunding, the ripoff, the hypocrisy continues. And when you fund the white institutions, then the young people who are taught about the bling world, they're going to go where the money goes. That's where we can't get those athletes, we can't go to those universities. But showing up at these universities that are underfunded, doing a public media cast to portray yourself as one of the greatest ever there, but not breaking off anyone, okay, I'll leave it there.
And Eric, do you know how much money, the money that they owe Tennessee State?
Yeah, I'm aware. Yeah, we talked about that. You know, and you know what, Patrick? It goes back. The interesting thing about that, and Fred made a point, and I have to probably say that. I'm just going to be brief. But, yeah, I'm well aware. We talked about that when it first came out on my show, as usual. You know, we talked about that, brought that up. What's the thing that's, using ex-president's word, it's been a catastrophe, right? And the catastrophe is Disco, the funding and the ripoff of the region to the money being rerouted goes back to the time my parents were going to that university, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And, I mean, literally. I mean, it goes back to that time frame. And then, you know, what's interesting, I had access to a yearbook from that time frame, right? You know, the campus of Tennessee State, right? And I went through a yearbook.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk about what Fred says. I mean, yeah, I mean, we stand up, man. But there's some sensitivities that come with that because it runs deep. Because when I was going through it, and I'm looking at all these brothers and sisters, you know, elegant, man. You know, jackets, ties,
mm-hmm.
the great majority of pictures going to class. The dignity of how they were walking the camp. It's just jumping through the pages, right? Like, it's no firewall. You can just see it, and it's just impacting you, and you're connecting to it. And you know some of these people came from some serious challenges, and all this was taking place in a hyper-racist Southern United
yes.
States or America, period, right?
Yeah, there you go.
And the way, and the way, and the, right? And the way that this dignity was being shown, this fearlessness, this exemplary empowerment thing, that's what these universities represented far more than anything else. And this is not, we're not talking about the athletic programs, right? We can wax poetic all day. We're talking about their peers on campus, right?
Yeah.
Students, you know, making, maybe working a job or showing up to the game, supporting them, the unified family front. It was just overpowering. And then to think that
oh,
they're still doing this in the face of underfunding, right?
Yep.
That they were entitled
yep.
to have, entitled
yep.
to have, criminal. But guess what? It was taught to have that dignity no matter what. And one of my favorite statements of an elder, I'll just keep it nameless, that it is in alignment with what Fred was talking about in terms of what happens on these campuses. That's the magic that you can't speak to through a GPA
mm-hmm.
or a sports program. And that is,
yeah.
you know, when it was shared to me one time, he said, why are you looking at it from this? It was a situation, right? Nothing over the top. Young man learning, you know. And he said, even when it looks like you're losing, you're actually winning. Remember that.
Mm-hmm.
So you're always
right.
winning. You're always winning.
Mm-hmm.
So these brothers and sisters on these campuses were always winning. So the clowns who are out here in 2023 talking that mess and jumping on the campus to act like you're part of the history and they're being sued, break them up at least, you know, a year's supply of erasers, and let us know about that before you, you know, do some self-promotion.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. Tell that shit, Eric. Gary.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. This week, the NFL will start its 14th week. When we start the 14th week, it'll be 20... Not one, not two, not three. 20 African Americans starting quarterback at the end of this week. That is history, folks. Yeah, never happened before. And congratulations to all the field generals. 1 through 20. I hope they do a good job this weekend. The big game today, the big game this week is Dak Prescott against the Hurts.
Can't
wait
for
that. Will be the real deal? We don't know. But
thank you, Joe.
But
well,
it's a prize guy game. Once again, the Bill General. Take the lead. Remember, go 1 o'clock Saturday.
My main man, Jordan Love, out to my home.
Jordan Love did a great job.
That's right.
Patience.
Right. Jordan Love was balling out on against
the kids.
And you know,
Jordan
Love has the same identical record.
Yes, sir.
And Aaron Rodgers.
Yes, he does.
Perry Mason.
Guilty. Well, you know, that was a bit premature, but I wanted to remind everybody, Henry Kissinger died.
Yes,
a few days ago. That scumbag motherfucker was 100 years old.
They say you're not
supposed to speak over the dead, but I got to speak up. This motherfucker was one of the lowest motherfuckers ever.
Guys in two wars.
And the shit that he did to black people, it's too many things, too numerous to mention.
And
I just want to let everybody know
that
even though you're not supposed to speak over the dead, there are times where karma will come and get your ass. And even though it was a little bit late, she finally caught Henry's ass and said, yeah, it's your time. And it was his time. We have done serious work with the field generals. On another note, and I just want to put out the fact that we've come with the reality that they do not want or care about what we have to say. So we say it anyway because, as Tony said, we are the most imitated when it comes to the black athlete. We are the most fabricated when it comes to making up stories about the black athlete. We've seen examples like what we just saw with David Carr, where they were trying to tear down the black athlete with left-handed compliments that smack of pure nonsense because they can't find a way to simply say, we are envious of what you do. And it's that envy that will drive us to make sure we make our point. Everybody go safe, stay safe, and be safe. You have a good night.